Hallelujah. 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 Good morning, Impact. Good morning. Oh, come on. Good morning, Impact. Good morning. Now I get it. This is that Sunday. Someone say that Sunday. This is that Sunday where we lose an hour of sleep. And I tell you, it can mess with everybody, including myself. I love to have it back, praise God. But someone say, thank God for his spirit. We thank God for his spirit because it is his spirit that energizes us, that charges us, that sharpens us, that directs us, praise God. So I already know with, you know, Sundays like this, there might be, quite a few folks that are watching this on the replay. You don't actually get it at the scheduled time because sleep patterns get thrown off. But I'm so glad that you are present because God loves you, and so glad that you are, tuning in, via Facebook, YouTube, or on our website, praise God. So now we got some good stuff, in store because we're still dealing with fact or friction. Yeah. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Turn to that person, that's near you. Say, come on, shake yourself a little bit. So tell them, say, shake yourself a little bit, praise God. You got to be alive, sharp, and alert, praise God. Even on a Sunday morning when daylight saving time has just jumped in on us. Just before we jump into, this part of the message, let me just remind you, on Saturday, April the 3rd, every first Saturday of the month, we get together at our administrative offices where we just have some time to pray together from 8 to 9. And then also on that Saturday, we're going to be going back out into our community because we just love our city. I said we just love our city. We love the city of Hollywood, so we're going to be going back out just to bless, the residents, of here, the city of Hollywood. So it invites you to come on out. There'll be social distancing, mask will be on, all that good stuff, so you will be well and protected. And then, of course, that next day is going to be Easter Sunday, Resurrection Morning. Come on, somebody shout glory. So I want to invite you to come on out and come out in person. There'll be two in-person worship experiences on that day at 9 and 11. So you can come out. You can bring family and friends. Again, we'll have everyone, spaced out accordingly. Everyone has on masks. Right now, everyone has on a mask other than myself. As I'm here on camera, if I had that mask on the whole time I'm ministering to you, you'd probably understand only about half of what I'm saying. So I didn't want you to miss anything, praise God. But you can come out on that Sunday, Easter Sunday, at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. right here at the Regal Oakwood Theater. All the information you'll find on our website. And then I got a surprise for you. Anybody like surprises? Okay, just about one person. But anyone else like surprises? Yeah, well, I got a nice surprise for you that's happening on Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Do you want to know what the surprise is? Then it's no longer a surprise if I tell you. So no, I can't do that. But you do want to make sure that you show up or tune in on Sunday morning, March 28th. Got a special surprise for you on Palm Sunday as we kick off Passion Week, Holy Week, praise God. Trust me, you're going to absolutely love it and be tremendously blessed. Well, let's pray and just jump into some things this morning. Father, we do thank you so much again for your continued presence. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to build our lives upon your love. So we open up our hearts right now, sir, just to receive further from you so that we can continue to grow in you and go from glory to greater glory. We give you thanks for this now in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah indeed. Let me give a special, shout out and welcome to Beckley, West Virginia, praise God. There's individuals that's been watching there, been watching for some time, just connecting with us. I want to say hello to you there in Beckley. Beckley, we love you. We bless you. We're praying for you. All that are there in Jesus' name. So now let's get into some good stuff here. We're going to continue on here just in the second week of what we started on last week, fact or friction. The whole heart behind all this is we're getting honest about the fact that when life gets tough and we start to experience friction in our relationships, in our marriage, in our finances, and sometimes even in our faith before God, we can have a tendency to move slowly away from what is true, and our perspective can then become our reality. And that's a very dangerous place. A lot of times now, an individual's reality and truth is what they experience. Well, now the truth is, it's not a what, it's a who. It's Almighty God. So you want to make sure that even in the moments and times of friction, that you don't move away from what is true, or watch this, who is true, and then start to make the mistake of allowing your perspective to become the new reality. last week shared with you a few things. Let me give you these definitions real quick. Friction is the resistance that one surface encounters when moving against another. Just by a show of hands for folks that may be present. Anyone experience some friction this past week? Come on now. Come on. Yeah, so some friction in relationships. Things, you know, start getting a little warmed up, you know, so forth. You know, that is natural. But how we respond to it, we want to respond to it not naturally, but spiritually from God's heart. Gave you this key definition about friction, that it's the tension we experience from the resistance brought on by facts in life that challenge our dreams. The moment we feel like something is happening, somebody, you know, is challenging us and it's trying to impede our dreams for a happy marriage, impede our dreams for a successful career, that's friction. And if you don't watch it, that friction can begin to take over and dominate your life. Don't fall for it. How do you ignore the friction and catch God's story for your situation? God has a wonderful story for all of our lives. That's a good place to say, I agree. Yeah, he's got a wonderful story for every single last one of our lives. God wants it to play out just like he's seen it. That's why he sent his son. So you want to be able to catch God's story, but you got to learn how to ignore the friction to do that. And these were the 5 points I gave you on last week to do so. Number one is hope against hope. Sometimes you can just wind up coming into a state of hopelessness where it just seems like it's never going to change. It's never going to be right. It's always going to be this way. And the temptation is to just kind of just rest in a place of hopelessness. But I want to challenge you, hope against that. Come against that to say, you know what? No, I still believe God that his story can come to pass. I can experience his story for my life. And I got news for you. His story is a good story. It's a good story for your marriage. It's a good story, you know, in your career. It's a good story with your children. It's a good story in everything that you put your hands onto. Secondly is you have to make yourself the last one standing. If you're going to ignore the friction and be able to capture God's story, you got to make yourself the last one standing. We shared this with you on last week. Anytime you make yourself first, everyone else in your family has become last. Anytime you make yourself first in a relationship, then everyone else is now last. And I got news for you. That is a recipe for disaster. Don't fall for that trap. Thirdly, fix your attention not on the facts in your life, but on the truth for your life. Yeah, there's facts. But then there's truth that you want to hold on to. All of us are amazingly strong in some areas. Some of us are stronger in one area. Others are stronger in a different area. All of us possess some strengths. Here's another key, number four, that I gave you. Use your strengths to serve others. Use your strength to serve those in your family. Come on, use that strength for that purpose. That's why it's there. Use it to serve, not to dominate. Not to control. Pretty quiet out there. Is it quiet online too? We don't use our strength to dominate. We don't use our strength to control. We don't use our strength to abuse. That's not what we do. That is not the heart and character of God. And then lastly was turn your life into a sacrifice. Turn it into a sacrifice. Selfless, submissive, and serving. Now, one of the most vulnerable relationships where we may start being overwhelmed by stress, tension, or friction is the marriage relationship. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Our vows can be tested and our love can wane unless we are proactive to rekindle the flame. Marriage can be a test. But you got to have the right perspective about marriage. Speaking of that, here's a good story for you. One particular, you know, pastor, individual came to him, one of his members of the church, and came to him and says, hey, listen, I want to get married. I'm going to get married. And I'd like your advice, you know, just on, you know, what to do here so that I can make it a happy marriage. And Pastor, oh, that's great. That's great. Congratulations to you. Oh, thank you, Pastor. Thank you. How long have you guys been dating? Oh, it's been about a year now. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Well, I'm glad that you all have been seeing each other for about a year. He says, tell you what, here's what I'd recommend for you. I want to set you up for our premarital counseling. You know, it's a workshop, you know, that'll help you, you know, so forth in your marriage. And so the guy was like, oh, no, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm good on that. I've been married four times already, so I don't need that. Marriage is not this thing that you just somehow get better at the more times you do it. As a matter of fact, the more times you do it, you know, and go in and out of it, it's really an indication that you don't know what you're doing. So you want to yield to some wisdom and direction. Thank God you got some wisdom and direction right here, right now, for this morning, because here it is in week number two, we're dealing with friction in marriage. So for all of our married folks, praise God, come on, lean in. If you're dating, come on, lean in. If you're single and you're thinking about marriage, lean in, because God's got some good things in store for you. Anybody, any couple, including my own marriage, if you've been married more than 5 minutes, you recognize marriage is work. You spell marriage W-O-R-K. And the moment you stop working effectively, you are sabotaging your marriage. You have to know how to work, praise God. Because the process of becoming one is not easy. It's great. It's phenomenal. It's achievable. But it's not easy. You really have to be very intentional. Listen to me. Every day, throughout the course of every day. This is not one that can slip. This is not one that you get a vacation from. This is one that you have to constantly be on point to work at. You know, anytime you start gathering people from different backgrounds, you know, so forth, there's going to be tension there. You know, my wife, you know, and family is from the Caribbean. I'm from the island of Detroit. And so, you know, we came together and we had a lot in common. Well, maybe in some cases, yes, but, you know, Detroit growing up there and, you know, various things from the Caribbean is two different things altogether. One thing that was strikingly different was just kind of the things that we ate. And my wife in particular, everything that she ate was always designed in spice for the most part. And if it didn't have spice, then, you know, there would be some pepper they would put on it to make it spicy and hot. So our first year of marriage, I spent pretty much about every day at dinner sweating. Because I'm eating the food and it's just spicy. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. I'm like, honey. It's a little spicy. I like spicy food, but I was like, this is just a bit much. And then so I never forget, she'd look at me and she'd be like, it's not spicy. I taste it, it's not spicy. I'm like, if you didn't have pepper in your milk as a baby, I guess nothing is spicy to you. Finally, you know, one day after about a year, I'm sitting there, I'm eating. I'm trying to be a good husband. I'm trying to eat everything. And I'm eating, and I'm sweating profusely. And I say, honey, come here. I say, come here, come. What? Put your hand on my head. She touches the top of my head, and my head is soaked. It's wet. She was like, what is wrong? I said, it's spicy. From that point, she kind of understood, okay. What's spicy to me and what's spicy to you are two different things. And so she thankfully began to adjust some things at that point. Anytime two people come together from different backgrounds, there's going to be some friction like that. How many of you know that was starting to, you know, get to a nice boiling point after a year? After a year sweating every night at dinner? It was some friction, praise God. But thankfully, we were able to finally connect in communication. Things began to adjust. Marriages must be ready for friction, and you got to have a real plan to overcome it. You got to be ready for friction, and you got to have a real plan to overcome it. Must. One of the causes, a lot of times, of friction in marriage is just responsibilities. So you have the responsibility of the marriage union, and that's a handful right there. But then you take that and you add your career onto it. You take that and then you add children onto it. You take that and you add, you know, maybe just other extracurricular, you know, activities. You take that and add finances, you know, matters, you know, to it. You take that and add intimacy to it. You take that and you can start to add all types of stuff to it, and it's a whole lot to juggle. If you don't watch it, unless you're a professional juggler, you're going to drop those things. So you have to back up and say, wait a minute, how do I really approach this so that I don't allow the pressures of life that come along with being married to now put a strain on my marriage and cause it to be unhealthy? So with that, let me give you some stress busters for marriage. Come on, someone say stress busters. Stress is going to come. Stress is just another word here in this case for friction. It's going to come. But how do you bust through that? How do you bust through that and still develop a healthy marriage? I'm glad you asked. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, let me give you that, verse 9, says this: two people are better off than what? One. They can help each other succeed. Two people are better off than one. If you're going to bust the stress in your marriage, you have to embrace the concept that it's teamwork that makes the dream work. Two are better than one. Listen, for all the men, all the husbands, you know, that are watching and men that will want to be married, I got news for you. God looked at you and me talking about, you know, men in the beginning and saw that we were by ourselves and said, that's not good. That man left, you know, alone by himself is not going to be able to accomplish what I put him here for properly. He says, I'm going to bring now this help meet now. Someone is suitable, pliable, adaptable, that fits, praise God. And I've shared this with you, you know, many, many times. As a matter of fact, maybe you've never heard this before, so let me say it. God gives that man, that husband, he gave Adam in the beginning, you see it, he gave him a vision. And then he brings now Eve in, and he gives her an anointing to help bring the vision to pass. See, listen, we can get it done maybe in brute strength, praise God. But why do that when you can simply learn how to lean on and trust in the anointing that God has given you in your wife? Rather than trying to, you know, cut harder and harder, why not just simply sharpen the edge, sharpen the blade? See, and that's what wisdom does. Wisdom says, wait a minute, I don't have to try to do this myself. I don't have to try to wear this all myself. God has anointed me here with this beautiful bride, and she has something on her. Watch this, I do not have. She has something on her to cause us to move forward. I do not have. And I need to learn how to appreciate that and yield to that. Teamwork makes the dream work. Teamwork. So in marriage, what if you were to just always remind yourselves that you are in this thing together? Come on now, you're married, you should remind yourself, hey, we're in this together. Come on, everyone say it with me, we're in it together. Yeah, we're in this together, praise God. Teamwork makes the dream work. Here's the second point. Let me read this to you out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, come on now, he loves you. Come on, he loves you. He makes you holy. That's not based upon what you've done. That's based upon what he's done. So God chose you to be the holy people he loves. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. See, we have to be very careful of the mentality that we bring into marriage and relationship. We have to be careful about the kind of the mentality and mindset that we'll have, you know, towards our spouse. Because that mentality, or watch this, attitude, has a huge effect on the health and well-being of that marriage union. And I love, you know, what Paul is, you know, saying here. He's saying this in a general sense, but how much more so should it be in marriage that we are tender-hearted, you know, with mercy, that we are displaying kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, that we are forgiving each other? How much more so should that indeed be in marriage? Let me give you a little quick, you know, quiz here. Come on now. I know you were ready for a quiz. You showed up ready for a quiz. You studied last night, didn't you? All right, amen. We got a quick quiz for you, just to help to determine the attitudes you have towards your spouse. Number one is this: how easily do you rejoice in your spouse's success? It should be easy, but trust me, I've been doing this a long time. It's not always that way. I've seen individuals begin to see their spouse succeeding, and then they start to see themselves as failing. No. Teamwork makes the dream work. Your spouse succeed, you succeeding too. What is one thing that brings your spouse joy? Come on, what's one thing? I heard someone say God, love it. But watch this. What's some practical ways to bring God into the equation that brings joy? Ladies, let me help you out. We're going to go there. I know we may have some students in here, but y'all can understand this. Ladies, you want to bring, your husband some joy? I'm telling you, your husband is visually stimulated and probably has a very high sex drive. Do I need to go further? You can bring him joy. Oh, okay. All right. I come on this side over here. That goes both ways too, though, husbands. Amen. I think y'all get the picture. When is the last time you expressed your love for your spouse in a tangible way? It's tangible. So not just simply the words, thank God for the words, but something tangible that you've done. Just a little quiz for us. How often do you pray for your spouse? Prayerfully is every day and throughout the day. Yeah. What is your spouse stressed about right now? Now listen. I don't care who it is. Every individual is dealing with stress in some form, fashion, or another. Just in case you've forgotten, we are still in the midst of a global pandemic. That brings stress by itself. So you may think your spouse is not stressed by anything, but he or she is. You need to know what that is, because you are called to serve them. Help to relieve that stress. So, Paul again reminds us about the things that we should focus on: putting on mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Mercy is to bless when punishment is due. Come on now. Mercy is to do something good for someone when what they did to you deserves a pop in the mouth. Now, this is now what the Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, is encouraging. It says, no, put on the mercy. Come on, put on the mercy where you bless when punishment is rightfully due. Says, put on the kindness. Kindness is to bless just because. Come on now. It's not attached to any holiday. Come on. It's not Valentine's Day. Come on now. For my up north folks, it's not Sweetest Day. It's not a birthday. Not Christmas. It's nothing. It's just simply because. That's what kindness does. And listen, you put these things on in marriage, it infuses it with great health and strength. Humility is to prefer others above yourself. Come on now. So if you're going to put this on in marriage, you are preferring your spouse above you. What you desire means more to me than what I need. Did you hear what I said? What you desire means more to me than what I need. I will serve you. Humility. Gentleness is to treat carefully as like you're handling something, precious, fragile, and valuable. Come on now, that's the gentleness. And that, especially for men, we have to be conscious, to be intentional, to be gentle. Handle, praise God, your wives with a sense of recognizing that she is the crowning touch of God's creation, a priceless jewel. That's gentleness. And then the fifth one says, then put on patience. Patience, watch this, is just to consistently be the first four regardless of the pressure. That's all patience really is. Be those first four. Come on, mercy, kindness, humility, and gentleness, regardless of the pressure, or watch this, regardless of the friction that comes. I'm just going to continue to be this way. And listen, and I do it with a great attitude. I do it with a smile on my face. Come on, let me see you smile right there. Come on, even at home, come on, let me see those teeth. Come on, do it with a smile. Yes. That's what Almighty God has called us unto. That is the patience that he has encouraged us to walk in. Now, verse 13, though, the word of God goes on to say, now, make sure that you forgive others when they've offended you. So let's just settle this right up front. People are going to hurt you. You're probably going to be hurt in marriage. Okay. All right, you're right. I shouldn't have said that. You're going to be hurt in marriage. Had to get that word probably out of there. It happens. Doesn't mean the other person is bad. Doesn't mean you're bad or whatever the case. It's just the fact that you're working the process. So you're going to be hurt. And God's admonition here is learn to forgive. Now understand something that he says here in verse 13. He doesn't say forgive because they deserve it. He doesn't even say forgive because, you know, it's the right thing to do. He doesn't say, you know, forgive because, well, you'll get a pat on the back. You'll get more, you know, credit in heaven. No. He doesn't even say forgive because, you know, you're expecting and hoping for your spouse to become magically better. That's not why he says forgive. He says do it simply because, watch this, you've been forgiven already. Already. You've been forgiven. Now listen, catch a hold of this. Your ability to appreciate the forgiveness that you've received from God will greatly impact your ability to forgive others. When you cannot recognize how you've been forgiven, then you will have a temptation to take a hard-hearted stance and not forgive others in your life. And it's because you don't recognize how much you've been forgiven. And in marriage, if marriage is going to be healthy, you have to learn how to forgive. And watch this, forgive with a smile. Come on, we're back to those teeth again. Forgive with a smile. Sometimes individuals are just not going to do exactly what you hoped and wished they would do, praise God. That's okay. You still want to make sure that you forgive. Let's look at verse 14. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14 says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Now, there's a word in here again. It's actually, you know, used here as a verb, you know, and it shows up the second time in this passage. You go back, you saw it there in verse 12 as well, and that's that word clothe. Some translations say, you know, put on, praise God. You know, it's literally now to kind of, you know, immerse yourself or sink into a garment. It says, now clothe yourselves in love. You know, I start, you know, thinking about this, and I can remember as a young fella, you know, especially like, you know, elementary school age, and even a little bit of middle school. By the time you get to high school, you kind of get over it. But elementary, middle school, you know, summertime, you'd have a lot of fun, so forth. And then it's getting ready for back to school. Back to school was a stressful time. Why was it stressful for me? Maybe not for you, but here's why it was stressful for me. Because the question is, the biggest question going back to school is, what am I going to wear that first day? Come on, everybody wanted to have on the new, you know, sneakers, gym shoes, whatever the latest was you wanted to have on. You wanted to show up to school right. So there was all kind of pressure. You're thinking about things. You're working on the fact of, okay, you know, come on, mom, dad, can somebody take me back to school shopping? I need this, I want that, you know. I want the $6,000 shoes. That's about how much they cost now. Praise the Lord. They got some stuff. It was a pressure moment because we were so concerned about what to wear. And I got news for you. God's concerned about what we wear. And that's why we see it here in this passage in verse 12 and here in verse 14. God says, I want you to clothe yourselves. I want you to clothe yourself with mercy. I want you to clothe yourself with kindness. I want you to clothe yourself with humility. I want you to clothe yourself now with patience, praise God. I want you to clothe yourself with these things. Make sure that you clothe yourself with love. Put those things on. Now listen, those don't come on just because we want them to. You have to choose that. It's like going to your closet. It's like going to your closet and be like, oh, I want to put that on. That's what I want to put on. That's what I want to put on. And you expect for it to jump off the hanger and jump on your body. You recognize just because you want to put it on doesn't actually put it on. You have to take the want to then and engage yourself into the clothing item. You got to engage yourself into that mercy. You got to engage yourself now into that humility. You got to engage yourself into God's love in order to put it on. Yeah, like going back to school, we should be concerned about what we wear every single day, especially in marriage. But we want to put on the things that God says that we should have on. So here's a question for you. When you're stressed and your spouse asks you to do something that you just don't want to do at that moment, how do you respond? Are you frustrated? Like, really? Can't you see I was laying down? I had a long day. What's wrong? You can't do it yourself? Leave me alone. Rather than that sense of frustration, why not choose, watch this, to put on some patience? Huh? Why not choose to put on some humility? You know what? Even though this is what I kind of want to do right now, maybe I am tired, but I said I do to you. So I will, watch this, value you above. So if that's what you need, here we go. I'm off and going. Put it on. Oh, here's another one. Maybe you've had a bad day. I know nobody in here probably ever had a bad day before. But for those of us that have had interesting days, you had one of those days, things kind of went, you know, haywire, maybe at work or whatever the case, kids, you know, school, you know, you're trying to get work done and the school didn't call you and said, we think your child may have been exposed to somebody, you know, that has COVID-19. We need you to come get your child right now. And you're just like, oh, my goodness. And right in the midst of all that, you'd ask your spouse to do something that was real important and they forgot. Oh, how do you respond? How do you respond? Does the anger come out now? Huh? Come on now. Does the opalaka come out now? Come on now. Come on. This is a Jamaica man. Come on now. Huh? Come on. Do the Haitian roots come out then? Come on. Does the west side of Detroit? Whatever. Does that come out now? God says, listen, in those moments, put on love. Put on, watch this, compassion, mercy. Now, you're right, they forgot. You're right, it was important. But you ripping them is not going to make it better and it's not going to cause them to remember more in the future. As a matter of fact, it's going to create a memory, but not one that you like. Thank you, Lord. We're breaking through some friction. Let me give you this one. Oh, boy. Coming up, one of the things that was real popular, and I use, you know, quite a bit, was called super glue. Anybody remember the super glue, you know, hitting the market? I mean, it's just like you could put that thing on and it would cause anything, you know, to stick. And don't mess around and get it on your hands and have your hands and fingers together. Oh, you're going to have an issue. Super glue. Now, today, we got something called Gorilla Glue. Come on, it's nothing but super glue with a new name, you know, so forth. But it's that real intense binding agent that quite frankly is, you know, considerably stronger than, you know, your normal glue. Well, if you're going to bust the stress, you have to remember that love is your glue. and you want to apply it liberally in the situations of your marriage and life. And it will cause, watch this, things, people to stick together. It's your glue. That's what love is. It's the glue. Boy. This is an area that requires, you know, some focus. You have to maintain focus on love. And I find one of the best ways to maintain a focus on love is to stay thankful for what you have. Not regretful for what you don't have, but thankful for what you do have. When you can learn how to stay thankful, it helps to keep, you know, watch this, the love meter rising. I would challenge everyone, get a hold of some images in your marriage and in your life that you kind of, you know, go to as a default when the friction starts to rise. Images that are good, that bring back, you know, memories like, yeah, this is why I'm in this. This is why I so adore this man. This is why I so cherish this woman. See, for me, I have some images like that. Matter of fact, here, let me give you one. So you'll see. Oh, glory. Look at that young lady right there. And she looked exactly the same. Just as beautiful. Just as wonderful. And I'll periodically go by this picture. You know, I got it in my phone, got it up in my office. Just to remind me of the wonderful treasure that I have. I'm thankful. But then there's other images as well. You see this one next. Because of our union, then God began to give us some children. And there was our first two children. And I never will forget this day. This is the day we were actually in a pool. We were baptizing them. Our oldest, Tony and Reagan. Images like that help me to stay thankful. And as I stay thankful and in gratitude, the love meter keeps rising. But then, it wasn't just two kids. Come on now. There wind up being four kids. Here come another two. And man, I'm telling you, this picture right here, Rick, just warms my heart. Look at these little fellas. Now, they're big fellas today. But, I mean, when I look at these pictures, it just reminds me again of just how good God has been. Yeah. That, wow, it was just the two of us that started. But then these additions, you know, came on and the blessing that they are. And then, of course, because four kids were added, then all of a sudden the two became six. And this is just another image where I just kind of reflect upon. Ah, look what God has done. And listen, it's only by the grace of God. I can't take any credit for it. Because if it was left up to me, I'd have messed it up a long time ago. Just the grace of God. But see, this helps me to stay grateful, to stay thankful, and it keeps my love meter high. And when your love is high, you are applying the Gorilla Glue liberally. That's what you want to do. Can the church shout glory? Glory. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 just simply says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Come on now, giving thanks. So whatever you're doing, do it from a place of gratitude. Do it from a place of, you know what, I am indeed blessed. Say it, I'm blessed. Come on now, say it again, I am blessed. Yeah. The reason we are to pay close attention to how we speak and what we do in relationship to one another is because marriages are meant to be a picture of the kind of relationship Jesus has with the church. The way you love your spouse is a reflection of how God loves the church. When we do it properly, it's a wonderful testimony of God's amazing love. When we don't, we really distort the vision of what people can really capture about God's love. When they see friction between those who are, you know, married and say that they have a relationship with God, then it taints how they see God. in their love for them. See, we do this as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. So never forget, your marriage, my marriage, is a witness to God's love. Never forget that. Never lose sight of it. Last one I give you is this. Make sure that you fight the friction. You just have to make it a point that I have to just stand up and absolutely put my feet entrenched in the ground and fight against the friction, because there's going to be friction. Listen, one of the things that the enemy hates the most is healthy, successful, godly marriages. Absolutely despises it and will do anything possible to try to create circumstances, situations, and an environment that would be so stressful that it will cause you all to break away. Listen, there's nothing he can do. He can't do anything, but he can try to create an environment, pressure, that would cause you to choose to break away. Don't fall for the trap. Jesus was real clear in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. We love to steal from your marriage, love to kill your marriage, love to destroy your marriage. But Jesus says, listen to this. I came that you may have and enjoy life in your marriage. I'm going to insert that. And have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. Come on, in abundance to the full, until it overflows. All of us that enjoy going to Brazilian steakhouses know what it means to be full until it overflows, praise God. Come on now, I love the Brazilian steakhouse. I haven't been to one this year because I'm working on something, but I'm going to go sooner or later. And I already recognize before I go, I pretty much can't eat that day. I got to get myself ready, praise God, because you are going to be full, and if you're anything like me, it's probably going to start to overflow as well. But that's the kind of life, that's the kind of peace, that's the kind of energy, that's the kind of health that Almighty God is trying to bring to your union and mine. He wants to see all, every single last one blessed. We end right here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Let me read it to you here out of the Message translation. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the master forgave you. Man, I love that. Come on now. Forgive as quickly and completely, thoroughly, as the master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, please wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Come on, it's the underwear. You got to have it on at all times. And if you don't, I want to talk to you. Father, help us to grow in our love, appreciating your love and your forgiveness and extending it to those in our lives, especially, Father, in marriage. We recognize the enemy would love nothing more than to beat down marriages and cause husbands and wives to be discouraged in that friction and at odds with each other. But we declare, Father, that this is a time and season for health, unity, and your restoration, where they are able to run closer to you and closer together in you. So every weapon formed against them today that tried to prosper, we say it shall not. We say, Father, that as they just embrace your word, embrace your love, embrace your grace, they will find greater and greater health and peace. We thank you for this and give you praise in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, everyone, please, just keep your heads bowed with me. Here in the auditorium, there online, just heads bowed, eyes closed in prayer. Listen very closely to me. I just have one question that I want to present unto you. If today you were to give your last breath and make a transition from this life to the next, and I certainly pray that's not anyone in here. Sitting here today, though, and watching today, can you say with certainty and clarity that you belong to God? Now, not because you want to, and not because you're a good person, or maybe you think you're a bad person. No, not that, those are none of the factors. Can you really say and know for sure that you belong to God? Some people would say, well, can you know for sure? No one can know for sure. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. This is why God released part of himself, his son, into the earth, who lived for us, who died for us, and who rose for us. And it says, now when you attach yourself to him, you attach yourself to me. Watch this. He's the glue that puts us together with Almighty God. It says, you embrace him. God says, now, the Father. He says, you're embracing me. So if you've never made a decision like that to connect yourself with the glue, that's the Lord Jesus, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Whether you're here, whether you're online, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you today. Because God would love nothing more than to be able to walk in relationship with you today. Now, I said relationship, not religion. So this is not about do's and don'ts. This is not about you being perfect. This is about you just learning how to surrender to the one who loves you better than everyone else. So if that's you, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you while heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. Do this for me, even if you're at home. If you desire my prayers, for that invitation right there, would you just let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven? I'd be glad to pray for you and with you here in the auditorium or there at home. Just go ahead and lift it up high. Be glad to pray for you and with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For those that are online, you could also even just type right there into the chat. Yeah, I've decided. And we'll know to rejoice for and with you, praise God. God loves you with an amazing love. Father, I thank you so much for those who are drawing closer unto you. That includes all of us. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you, Father, for brand new relationships with you on today. Individuals stepping out of darkness over into your marvelous light. We love you. We give you praise, and we call them blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody just rejoice with me for a moment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. You are good, awesome, and amazing. Listen, for those of you online, if you raise your hand, you were in agreement, you know, with that prayer, I want you to do something for me. If you didn't already, just select right there. You'll see in some of the platforms a little menu where you can select that I committed my life to Christ. Or again, you can just type in I decided, or you can text the word decided to the number that you'll see there in the chat. Now, the reason why we're asking you to do this is twofold. One, we just want to rejoice, you know, for you and just be praying for you. And then two, we want to send you a link to an electronic book. It's called Fresh Start. It's a 7-day devotional. It'll just help you in the decision that you've made today to be able to make it a permanent one in your life. So it's free, no obligation. We just want to get that to you, but you just got to let us know so that we can send you that link. Then the second next step that is real critical that would help you is that every Sunday morning at noon on Zoom, we have our growth track. It's about 30 minutes. It's 4 steps, you know, that you get in on, which helps you to grow in your relationship with Almighty God. So I want to encourage you to get in on that. You can text the number, text the word grow to the number you'll see there, you know, in the chat, and they'll send you the link to the Zoom so you can join it on this Sunday at noon. It will be a tremendous blessing in your life. Come on.